Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and lived to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
He is the sports dad, Judd Zolgad. He was there for the inaugural Minnesota Timberwolves season in 1989. And now look how far we've come. Second round of the playoffs.
First ever home game. Metrodome, right field seats with Don watching Michael Jordan play.
It's amazing. And now you're watching the next Michael Jordan play.
That's what I was getting at. How about that?
So tonight, it's a late night start. We're hitting you guys with kind of a late morning episode here of Flagrant Howls on the day of game two. And we'll definitely be back for post game after game two. In fact, thank you for making Flagrant Howls a top 15 NBA podcast, according to the Apple charts. Thank you. It's right there. It just leapfrogged Dane Moore's amazing podcast. He is generally the number one and OG Timberwolves podcaster, friend of the show. So check that podcast out if you haven't already. I woke up this morning and was flipping around the national sports shows here on this Monday morning, just wanting to get a feeling for what they're talking about. And a lot of talk still about game one, Anthony Edwards, dominant performance. Greeny over on Get Up was ranking who are the top five playoff MVP candidates.
I'm surprised you flipped around because I ordinarily just stop on our guy Greeny's show.
Yeah. And if they've got our guy Kendrick Perkins on these shows, he's been the number one National Wolves supporter.
Yes.
Greeny had Jalen Brunson as the number one playoff MVP, which he's having an amazing stretch too, with Anthony Edwards number two. And I wind up, I think it was Fox Sports 1, and I see Craig Carton, formerly of WFAN Radio, very much rooted in New York sports fandom for three decades.
Sure.
Unfortunate incident that landed him in jail for a couple years there. But now he's back doing a national show on Fox Sports 1. And I will just sum it up by saying, on April 28th, many members of the national media discovered Anthony Edwards for the first time. Oh, who is this guy that looks kind of like Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant? This is great. Look how much fun this guy is to watch on April 28th when they clinched a sweep over the Suns. And then like a week later, as was happening on Fox Sports 1 this morning, we're talking about when he's going to leave Minnesota. Craig Carton looked into the camera and said, Minnesota, you guys seem like a bunch of nice people up there, a bunch of like patting us on the head. Bunch of nice people, but you know what's going to happen, right? He's going to leave you. Anthony Edwards is going to leave you for New York or for LA. It's destined to happen at some point. Just like, by the way, Giannis left Milwaukee. Just like Jokic feels the need to leave Denver.
This is the new Giannis. Yeah. No question. Yeah. Yes.
Just like Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, and Tony Parker left San Antonio. So this was inevitable. This conversation, it's like the first, if you're a lazy sports talk host nationally, it's the first thing you think of. Oh, it's a Minnesota superstar. Oh, let's send him to New York. Put a Knicks jersey on him in Photoshop. What do you make of this conversation being a thing now, now that Anthony Edwards is the most dominant player in the playoffs. So.
It's incredibly stupid. Like, it's not the way that the league works now. It doesn't work that way. So I think it's of all the things that this guy has given us to talk about. And by the way, there are a ton of Ant related storylines here. This is the dumbest. Like, this
it's
the default
extremely
dumbest.
Dumb and lazy.
Like, it's not even lazy. It's dumb because, first of all, it's of zero concern right now. Second of all, you know, Giannis was this guy for how long? Well, Giannis is going to leave the Bucks. They'll never win a title. He's just going to leave. Still there. They've won a title. So it's lazy. It's stupid. It is trying to create a stir where no stir exists. Like, I can't tell you if I was a producer, how many times I would tell the talent, we're not doing that one. There's a lot to do. I will say this though, and I think Saturday put an exclamation point. Ant's not leaving us, but Ant is no longer ours, if that makes sense.
He's not like our secret anymore.
Yeah. Ant is no longer our little secret. Because while I think the first round, and we predicted this for a long time, like we've talked about this, I think the Suns series was a coming out party, but I think Saturday was the verification of this is not a budding superstar. Like, I've seen that. Well, he might be a superstar. No, I'd like to rephrase. He's a superstar.
Dude, he is. Like, quick side street, because I want to come back and hammer this dumb New York thing for a second too, because I've got way more ammunition where that came from. But this is what we talked about in the game one post game recap episode of Flagrant Howls. Artis Woods, Kyle Tighe was on. Anthony Edwards is becoming the best player in the NBA in these playoffs.
So Reggie Miller said,
and it's not hyperbole.
Best two-way player.
When you account for he can clamp down defensively, unlike some of the other guys that can score 30 points. I mean, Luka Doncic is going to put maybe some better offensive box scores. He's not clamping Jamal Murray.
Right.
He's not clamping Devin Booker or whoever he needs to. And his level of performance is really good in the regular season. But when you start to dig in, like, he's just a better player when the lights get brighter across the board the last two postseasons. And let's come back to that, because I found a really interesting nugget. There's like one thing specifically that he is elite at in the playoffs that he's not that great at in the regular season, that I don't know if there's a rhyme or a reason for it. But back to this whole national media discovering Anthony Edwards, and then the first place we want to bring him to is New York, right? Like, oh, we got to get him out of Minnesota. I was just doing some digging here, looking around at, you know, what's possible if you were to become a bright superstar and go to New York, right? Like, Anthony Edwards, did you know, has five times as many Instagram followers as Jalen Brunson, the superstar of the New York Knicks the last two seasons?
How long has it been now that we've been trying to get guys to go to the Knicks? And Brunson's there because his old man is there.
In part, yeah.
Large part. Like, but I mean,
well, how many... because they... You know,
yeah, but it's year. But this money. Has been years of Knicks fans and Knicks biased media trying to get the Knicks players who the Knicks never get.
Dude, it's yeah, and
like
also,
the Lakers, like, is the better talker, but even that's a non-starter for Ant.
It's really rich when Knicks fans and Knicks centric media talk condescendingly about the Timberwolves as if the Wolves are this broke ass franchise and the Knicks are on this high ground, dude. The Knicks, let's do a little tale of the tape, okay? Yes. Knicks versus Timberwolves playoff resumes since 2002. So let's go back to the 2002 NBA playoffs.
Yep.
Since then, 2.5 decades, the Knicks have won 3 playoff series. The Wolves have won 3 playoff series. The Knicks have been to the playoffs 7 times. The Wolves have also been to the playoffs 7 times. You want to talk about consecutive seasons without a championship? Well, the Wolves came into existence in 1989, so it's 34. This is their 35th season. 34 seasons without a championship. It's been 51 seasons since the Knicks have won a championship. Mm-hmm. You literally have to go back to like Phil Jackson with an afro in 1973. Mm-hmm. The last time the Knicks won a championship. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, God forbid, man, Anthony Edwards, if he ever has a chance to go, maybe if he goes to New York City sometime, Judd, maybe then he can like star in commercials, star in an Adam Sandler movie, get millions of social media followers, get a shoe deal that's wildly popular throughout the entire country. Hopefully someday he can make his way to New York and play for such a rich, successful franchise like the Knicks so that he can bask in the fruits of being a superstar NBA player.
Yeah, that is such a lazy and bad take. And yeah, the Knicks are, again, the Knicks people have been trying to get stars there forever. And guess who doesn't go there for the most part? Star players. The Brooklyn Nets have built the rosters. Now, it has not worked necessarily, but the Brooklyn Nets have built more rosters that the Knicks thought that they could build than the Knicks have built. Yeah. So,
dude, I would say that last point on this, the Knicks and New York need Anthony Edwards 10 times more than Anthony Edwards needs New York or the Knicks. Yeah. He's fine. In fact, don't even get me started on the LA conversation. If you're Anthony Edwards, would you rather be the 20th superstar in Lakers history to deliver a championship? Or would you rather deliver the first and only championship to a city that's been desperate for it? And actually make something out of a franchise. Like Michael Jordan, the Bulls were nothing for decades.
Oh, God.
Michael Jordan, and by the way, they've been nothing since. Michael Jordan made the Bulls relevant for 15 years. Anthony Edwards is about to make the Timberwolves relevant. I'd rather do that. If I'm already getting the movies, I'm already making the super max money, I'm already got the shoe deal, like I've already got millions of Instagram followers, I'd rather do it for a franchise that's starving for it than do it for a franchise that has an overinflated sense of itself like the Knicks or a franchise like the Lakers that's already had decades of Magic, Kobe, Shaq, LeBron, Jerry West.
Loves the challenge here.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of Sports Talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
Like that's part of how he and to go back to Jordan, those guys were wired like that. They loved the challenge. And the one thing that I think is very, very interesting to watch with Ant and LeBron didn't have this is, have you noticed Ant doesn't really recruit? Like Tim Connelly's built this team with Ant here. But Ant has never had, I don't remember anything with him talking about, I want to get my buddy here and then I want to go.
Well, does he have, like LeBron has buddies, right?
But I mean, buddies.
Does he have buddies?
Well,
Giannis doesn't.
If he didn't, he does now though. Cause I mean, Jokic guys doesn't. Love him. Guys love him. But my point is, I think he loves the challenge. I think he genuinely loves the challenge of taking the team built around him. And this is why Conley is important, because Conley has done a great job. But I think he loves this challenge of trying to win here. He's the focal point, but he knows he's got a supporting cast here that's damn good. And when they play their role, like this team, I can't, you know, this goes back to what we talked about a few months back. You watch the Wolves play again on Saturday. They're hell to play against. They are hell to play against. Jokic looked genuinely freaked out post game. When he basically said,
and then they asked him, how do you deal with this 3-7 footers? He's
clone
like,
me.
Clone me? I don't know.
Clone me.
Pretty much screwed.
But I mean, he looked flustered. Like he was looking, but I mean, that starts with Ant. And so, yeah, I think this whole, I think Ant, if Ant is to become or is on the precipice of being the dominant face, I think we're done with super teams. And I think we're going back to, I'm going to prove to you that I can take my team and I can win because I want to destroy your team.
Yeah. You know, an Ant has a more fun loving, friendly personality when he shows it 75% of the time, but the other 25 is like cyborg NBA killer.
Yeah.
The one thing I kind of loved about Jordan and Kobe, it's not that they didn't have some friends, but they weren't looking to make friends and go on vacations and take red wine baths together like LeBron on Instagram and stuff.
Ant's got no GM to him. Like LeBron, a lot of GM. You know, decisions on coaches, right? Decisions on roster construction. I don't sense that from Anthony.
Yeah, I don't know that he does. He take like vacations with his peers. Is he like, no, is he like hanging out in Cabo with Halliburton and LaMelo Ball? I think he just, dude, he, and then the other thing, he just shows up to the arena in his Wolves sweatpants and his slides, just like literally just ready to go and play basketball. He doesn't give a rip about wearing some peacock outfit for the cameras like a Russell Westbrook or someone. He just eats, sleeps, breathes basketball. And it's been so much fun to watch. And it is like, you, to your point, we've kind of lost. He's not our little secret anymore here.
Not ours anymore.
And so you're going to, yeah. So you're going to get these people. It's great. Cause you get more attention on a franchise and on a player, but you're also going to get these narratives that kind of drift off all over the place. But I want to give you, I was doing some digging on playoff Ant versus regular season Ant, because just on the surface, like his scoring average, if you look at the last two playoff runs, his scoring average is up 7 points a game, regular season versus playoffs. His rebounds are way up. His assists are way up. His steals are up. Shooting percentages way up. The advanced metrics, like his playoff win shares and his player efficiency rating compared to the regular season, are up and would be top three player in the NBA caliber if you took it for a full season. So what specifically is he better at in the postseason than the regular season? Pull-up jumpers.
Oh, yeah. Saturday was, yeah.
It's like where he's, yeah, and where he's dribbling, or he does like, he had the one where he does a couple crossovers and just pops a fadeaway.
5 years back, don't you dare take that shot.
But even, dude, in the regular season, it's kind of don't you dare take that shot, because here's the numbers. In the last two regular seasons, among the 65 to 70 players who qualify with enough pull-up jump shots, Anthony Edwards is in the bottom third of the league in effective field goal percentage on pull-ups. In the postseason, he's top three the last 2 years in effective field goal percentage on pull-ups. He essentially turns into Kevin Durant on pull-up jumpers in the postseason the last 2 years. Now, do you look at that and say, ooh, that might be a problem because the larger sample size of regular season shows he shouldn't be taking those shots? The smaller sample size of playoffs would say, wow, he's hot making those shots. Is there going to be a regression? Or is there some unquantifiable next level that he's able to get to physically, mentally, that he's making those shots because he's that damn good and he's getting to a new level?
It's door two for sure to me. He becomes a cyborg. Like there is, and look, you know, I think we complain, and I certainly do, when guys will take some games off, right? But the regular season's 82 games. And if you can be as good as Ant is, and then we've seen this in the playoffs, he goes from, you know, really good player, unbelievable player, to phenomenal player. Yeah, I think it's the difference, and this is not to pick on him, because Karl Anthony Towns has been spectacular in his role. Started third quarter on Saturday, 5 of 5, fantastic. Now that was his spurt, but that's all that he needed, okay? Mm-hmm. But if you remember, you know, there was a long time when, starting with the Rockets series, which was Cat's first playoff series, where he didn't do much, and we sort of defended him. But then there was the playoffs, it'd be up and down until now, be up and down. And, you know, it's like, okay, when does it click? This is where Ant is a superstar. It clicked immediately and it gets better in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So
it is. It is.
Like, and you've seen some of the other nation. Phil, I was thinking about this after the game on Saturday. If you look at like what we quantify as championship teams, and there has certainly been justifiable frustration in this town because we have not had them. But if you look at like, okay, what does it take to get a championship team? We're looking at one right now. And this is why, this is why the Vikings and the Twins post Puckett, the Wild, can be frustrating, because like we are seeing now the blueprint, which is supporting cast. Even if they're not great shooting wise, they contribute. Jaden McDaniels, Saturday, 0-4 from the field and like a plus 14. Okay. Mm-hmm. Contributed.
Because he's playing defense.
But then you got your guy, you got your Puckett, who's like, okay, boys, get on my back now. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the definition of, and I don't know if they're going to win the title or not, but what we're seeing is the definition of how you build and what it looks like when you've got a potential champion, a real champion, not a fluke champion.
The only problem I saw in game one is, so Rudy Gobert played 35 minutes, which means he was played off the court for 13 minutes. If you do the math, it's a 48 minute game. He played 35. He was played off the court for those other 13 minutes, unfortunately. So something to keep an eye on. I also found on the Anthony Edwards front, this was going around after game one on Twitter, people digging up the Ringer's 2020 draft scouting report on Anthony Edwards.
Bill Simmons on him is incredible.
Well, yeah, there's the Bill Simmons clip. And then this is from their authors. It's like, and I love Kevin O'Connor is one of their awesome NBA guys. He's been on our podcast before. But the main summary is bruising scorer who can create space with his dribble and make tough shots from all over the court. But his decision making leaves much to be desired. And they went through a bunch of examples of why, like, he's a drifter on defense and his decision making is a problem. And those were things early in his career. But the best part of this is they give you the comps. And I feel like we just went through NFL draft season on Purple Daily. And most of the time, the comps that you see of a college player are like, if he can become the best version of himself in the NBA or the NFL, he will be this. And for Anthony Edwards, his comps, and it's described as shades of Victor Oladipo, Eric Gordon, and Deion Waiters. Like, if he can turn into Deion Waiters, Oladipo, then it's going to be a successful draft. Loved
back in the day. Well, that's funny. He was
Indiana kid.
He's a good player. Yeah, he's a nice player, but oh my God.
Well, I think he's surpassed the Deion Waiters comparison at this point. I think it's safe to say.
Gerson Rosas saved James Wiseman from being Sam Bowie. Because if you remember, James Wiseman and LaMelo Ball were very much, like there was a debate, Ant, Wiseman, or Ball. And if they had taken Wiseman and Ant went elsewhere and flourished, which I'm guessing he for sure does, James Wiseman becomes the Sam Bowie of the Ant draft.
Let's pull up that draft for a second, because
I think it was, I think the Jordan draft was Olajuwon, which was not debated, Sam Bowie to Portland and Jordan to Chicago.
Yeah. And this was Anthony Edwards to the Wolves, James Wiseman to the Warriors. I want to come back to that for a second.
Yep.
And then LaMelo went to the Hornets. And by the way, LaMelo won rookie of the year,
rookie
right?
Of the year. Yeah. He was rookie of the year.
For a minute, it was like, oh boy, maybe the Wolves should have taken LaMelo, because he came in and he was just instantly a better player the first year. And then a bunch of just kind of ran, like Killian Hayes was the Pistons pick at 7.
That's the Maxey draft.
Yep. Maxey and Halliburton. Halliburton went 12. Maxey went 21.
Yep.
A redraft of this would put Anthony Edwards number one, either Maxey or Halliburton number two, and then the other one number three, and then LaMelo. But is there a world where the Warriors had peak Clay and peak Steph at the time? Is there a war? Did they also have D'Angelo Russell too going in? I'm trying to remember like the timeline of when they traded D'Lo to the Wolves. But let's say they just had peak Steph and peak Clay and then Draymond. Let's say the Wolves would have gone Wiseman number one, which would have been epically terrible. Is there a world where Anthony Edwards would have gotten drafted by the Golden State Warriors?
Okay. The Warriors took him out to dinner. Didn't the Warriors say that they probably, I thought I remember something that came out after that the Warriors didn't know if he had the competitive streak. Yeah.
Well, Steve Kerr flat out told him during the private workout, hey, I needed to pick it up a step or two. Cause they talked about this during the off season.
But yes, there's a world. Yeah. He could have been there very easily.
And then maybe they ship out Clay or something.
I feel like now it's like, of course they, I got this. I actually tweeted that thing about Rosas out on Saturday, and I immediately got back some, they were taking Ant all along. Talking to Dookie at the time, I don't remember it that way.
It certainly wasn't like the LeBron draft or some of these other drafts where it's very obvious that the number one pick is going to be Wemby or LeBron.
Right.
And now he's, of course, emerging. Speaking of Wemby, that's another guy. I started making a list on Twitter here, players from podunk markets that we need to save for their career sake. How many star players can we fit on the Knicks and Lakers here? So Ant, Wemby, Giannis and Damian Lillard are stuck out there in podunk Milwaukee. Let's save these guys.
If you were to rank the like big name teams, the Knicks are near the bottom of that list. The Heat,
not if you ask,
are
them.
Higher. The Lakers are higher. Like the Knicks would not be. The Knicks aren't even probably top three.
I get it. Like Boston. It's Madison Square Garden. It's New York City. The glitz and the glam. But like, stop acting like you also don't have a.
Well, it's Craig Carton.
Broke ass franchise.
Desperately trying to. But yes, the last there's a lot of things about the Wolves that when the season is done, we could talk about that are like potential concerns. Ant potentially leaving to me is not on that list unless they do everything wrong.
Yep.
Like the franchise does everything wrong.
I think you're right. And, you know, I've already seen a bunch of Milwaukee Bucks fans reach out in solidarity because I was tweeting about this morning, like, oh, welcome to the club. This is what happens. We're still sitting here. By the way, KG stayed for 12 years and had to be like coaxed into taking a trade to Boston for the good of both franchises.
Don't you feel like KG is this close to attending a game here? He keeps tweeting about he loves the Wolves. He loves it. I feel like he's like this close to saying screw it and being like courtside. He should go in solidarity. He should go with A-Rod.
Can you imagine? Well, he'd have to sit. Usually he sits in the, like Wally Szczerbiak was sitting in the seats under the basket. Baseline. That's usually where they put the former players.
No, but I'm saying A-Rod should take him.
I know, but then he'd have to stare across the way at Glenn the whole time.
He should love that.
I think the reason why KG isn't doing it is because, but people should just tell him, listen, man, like pretty much everyone feels the same way you do about Glenn. So just come on in.
Yeah. He's in a piece of power right now. He and A-Rod and Laurie side by side would be one of the most glorious moments I've ever seen.
And you know what happened?
KG loves this team. That's the thing about it. He is on the record. Loves Ant, loves this club. Yeah. You know, if KG showed up on Friday night, the roof would come off Target Center.
Well, and
with that atmosphere.
Cheap plug here. He did, you can get a couple new threads, Wolves Culture. And he tweeted break every record at Anthony Edwards. So we have break every record swag available at scorenorth.com/shop. scorenorth.com/shop. There's a QR code on your YouTube channel. KG, 8:30 Friday night.
Oh,
swing on in.
I'm telling you. Late
that place
start.
Would go bonkers.
Alcohol in play. Mm. The place is already going to be nuts. And Kevin Garnett stands up courtside, stands up. Dude. No announcement. Greatness in the house and daps up Ant.
Dude,
we're literally talking about the roof of that building. Like going to Target Field, it blows off so much.
Do you see what the Wolves social media team has done the last couple games? I think it was after game 4 Suns and then for sure after game 1.
No,
they've in their little like photos that they put out on Instagram and Twitter, they've made sure to put at least one photo after each game of Glenn in the locker room.
Oh,
like,
I did
embracing
see
an Anthony.
Yeah,
Edwards.
Let's
make it known that Glenn is still the owner and Glenn is on the scene. He's in the locker room.
Just stop the theatrics until it's done. Just let people enjoy this. This is a great ride.
Yeah, this is freaking awesome. So, all right, we're going to shut up so we can post this and. We'll see what happens in game 2. The Score North YouTube channel is where we go live after games. So click the like button, the subscribe button on the Score North YouTube channel. And on the audio side on Apple and Spotify, give us a 5-star rating here on Flagrant Howls. Michael Grady is going to join tomorrow to recap whatever happens.
Grady and Jim Pete now?
Grady and Jim Pete sometimes together, but just depending on schedule, sometimes we'll just have them with me and Kyle, but they're in for the rest of the playoffs, dude.
That's awesome.
So let's let it ride here for game 2 against the Nuggets. He's the sports dad. I'm Phil Mackey, and this is a Timberwolves lifestyle podcast.